reading this morning comes to us first from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Begin the reading at verse number 28. We'll read through verse 40. Listen to the Word of God. And they said to him, that is Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." So they said to Him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is My Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen Me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and anyone who comes to Me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given Me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of My Father, that all who see the Son and believe Him in Him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Secondly, a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Begin the reading at verse number 25. Listen to the Word of God. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The same God who inspired these words, incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the beginning of a new program year at OHPC, and so it seemed to me an appropriate time for a new sermon series. We'll be calling the series the Living the Gospel series, largely motivated by the book Renovation of the Church, written by Kent Carlson and Mike Lucan, co-pastors of the Oak Hills Church in Folsom, California, that I read last winter, and I've been sharing excerpts with you from that book throughout the year. Just as a quick reminder, in essence, the book is about how Oak Hills was all about marketing their church out in California, following the Willow Creek model, Instead of being about spiritual formation and helping folks grow into the likeness of Christ, they were all about how to get people in and not about how to grow people into faithful disciples. And they went through years of changes as they helped folks understand what it meant to live into the likeness of Christ and be faithful disciples of Jesus who are living in the kingdom here and now. This book had a profound effect on me. So much so that I've shared it with the session, with the ministry area leaders and staff. The session has just retreated with this book in hand to ask the question, well, what does it mean for us here at OHPC to be focused on spiritual formation? Can we do more in terms of what it means for us to grow into the likeness of Jesus? And this is largely what motivated this series, as I got to thinking about the retreat and wondering after reading the book and meeting with Session, well, what are the essential characteristics of a life with God? I mean, if spiritual formation is defined as the process of being transformed into the image of Christ by the gracious working of God's Spirit through intentional engagement in spiritual practices, well, what does that transformation look like? A simpler way to think about it might be to ask, how might Christians live more Christianly? I mean, we follow Jesus to become like Him, right? If we don't, then there's no purpose in following Him. So what's so special about people who do that? People who love Jesus and are striving and always say and do to seek first the kingdom of God and be like Jesus. How do we live out the gospel we believe in and live with? Well, this series has as its foundation, in essence, the spiritual formation brochure from Oak Hills that I reference with permission of the authors, as it has a great set of answers to these questions. So we will see over the course of the next 7 weeks that a person who is living the gospel and seeking the kingdom of God first authentically trusts God. Second, finds their identity in Christ. Third, gracefully obeys Christ. Fourth, manifests the fruits of the Spirit. Fifth, cares for the outcast. Sixth, lives simply. And finally, participates in the advancement of the kingdom of God. So for the next 7 weeks, we will explore these topics as a way to appraise our own faith journeys and maybe even mark some ways that we could be more intentional about deepening our walk with God. So we begin today as people living out the gospel and seeking the kingdom of God. We first of all authentically trust God. I like the way Kent Carlson and Mike Lucan talk about this. They say, we live open-handedly because of our growing confidence in God. We believe God is up to something in the world and in our lives, and we are learning to see Him even when we can't understand Him. We are not overcome by the daily trials of life because of growing trust in God. We view suffering as opportunities for God's formative work. We embrace our unformedness, confident that God isn't done with us yet, and our growing trust is attractive and redemptive to us and those around us. I know, there's a lot there. And I'm thinking we really need to be prayerful about these things over the next few weeks. I mean, really, is my confidence in God growing? If not, what will it take for it to do so? If God is really up to something in this world, are we seeing that? Are there God moments for you when you can see Him clearly or wish you could see Him? And do you, well, let me put it this way. How do you view your daily trials and times of suffering? Are they curses imposed upon you by a judgmental God who is judging you for something that you think you've done wrong? Or are they opportunities for you to trust God more and to see Him working in new and different ways in your life? And finally, do you think people see the way that you trust God and talk about that? Do you think they see that as attractive in you? Or are you just a Debbie Downer, an Eeyore, who paints gloom and doom with constant and broad brushstrokes? This trust business is just the first attribute of kingdom people. And I'm feeling right now that we could really do a 7-week series on this trust issue alone. You know what I mean? This is big stuff. Well, thank God our journeys with God are long ones, and that God is with us every step of the way, helping us to live as He intended. And thank God for His Word that assures us that we do not need to worry about our lives. And of course, because you heard my sermon on worrying and fearing and fretting a few weeks ago, and you confessed with Sam Dance last week that we need less stress, well, our lives are pretty well under control right now, you know what I mean? We got those things handled. Right? Yeah, right. The fact of the matter is, trusting God in this day and time is a tough, tough thing to do. And worry has a way of ruining the very best days we could want or have. Even when, as my mother said, worrying is thinking a lot about things that never happen, it's still there. Anna Carter Florence opened up some new doors for me with this text that is before us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew by saying, "Preachers, you preachers, you need to pay better attention to the verbs in the texts." This passage from Matthew 6 is so familiar to us. And so I stepped back and I looked at the verbs. There were two that hit me like a ton of bricks. Look and consider. Jesus said, don't worry about your life, which is really just another way of saying that you can authentically trust God. But we blow that line off all the time by saying something like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't worry, sure. You don't know what I am up against day in and day out. Don't tell me to not worry. And then Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. And consider the lilies of the field. Look, consider. As if there was something in observing the world around us and our own experiences that can counter the worry in our hearts and minds and help us develop trust. I got to thinking about that at this point on Tuesday in my sermon writing. And in the midst of some intense personal worrying, I took Jesus at His word. And I stopped writing. And I went outside and I sat in my backyard. And I looked around a while. I looked at the birds. Couldn't get beyond the fact that there were way too many crows in my yard. And then I watch them picking and eating and flying. And then I considered for a while there in my backyard. Well, I tried to consider the lilies, but the groundhog had eaten them all. And so I considered the grass. I looked at the grass. Needed cut. And then it was. I looked and I considered and I looked some more and I considered some more. And my considerations led me to observe how truly birds and plants don't worry. And yet they are taken care of. And that led to some observations of how there have been some amazing moments in my own life when God cared for me. I considered the time in seminary when God had provided just enough money to cover a doctor bill and a prescription for Drew when he got very sick and we had no idea where the money was going to come from. Somebody from my old church, when we got back from those appointments, had sent us a money order for exactly the amount of money. Then I considered how food has always been on my table. A gift from the bread of life himself. I considered the time that this congregation rallied to care for a broken and burned out pastor who thought his career was over. I looked at times in my past and considered how God was there in so many ways. And because that is so, I know that I can authentically trust God to be there in the future and to turn my daily trials and times of suffering into opportunities to search for and find God's good care even then. And when I was done looking and considering, I went back in to write all this down. And I was delighted when I sat back down to finish the sermon. I came across this from Jule Mendenblick, president of Calvin Seminary. Jesus said we were to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Jesus asked us to observe in order to live. In order that we might live by faith, not by worry. I don't know about you, but worry-free living is not always easy. Maybe we have to consider or observe the world around us to see how God is still at work in this world. I enjoy observational humor. I enjoy Jerry Seinfeld and Jeff Foxworthy. And they're looking at the oddities of life. There is much to observe in this world that will lead to laughter. But maybe observing life will lead to a deeper world view and a deeper trust. I'm not kidding. This came after I looked and observed. Mendenblick continues, my wife Jackie and I were recently on a plane heading back to the cold of Chicago. As we settled in on the plane, we saw across the aisle a very young woman carrying a very small baby. The baby was obviously just a few months old. The baby was so dependent upon her mother, and the mother looked like she could still be in high school. As I watched this new mom, I wondered about how this journey began for her.
Maybe because friends of ours had just had their unwed daughter share that she was having a baby, I wondered, where's the father? I wondered, how is she making it? I wondered, how does her own mother and father feel about their little girl growing up so fast? While I was in the midst of my wonderings, a female steward came to the young lady and handed her a folded bill. I thought a 20, maybe more. And she said, "This is from your mom. She wanted you to have it." And there it was. I don't know how this journey began for this young girl, but I do know that in that moment of separation between a mother and child, that a mother reached out to connect, not just financially, but emotionally. I saw generosity. I saw support. I saw a mother's love. In the next moment, I saw the young lady get her phone out and begin to text. I presume that she was texting her mother. In that moment, I also saw thankfulness. But I'm wondering if the mother didn't give her the money at all, if it was a gift from the stewardess herself. Maybe Jesus wants us to not just observe lilies of the field or birds of the air. Maybe Jesus wants us to open our eyes and see how He is still at work in the world. What are you seeing that can help you live the life that Jesus has promised you? And I might add, that might help you develop authentic trust that is contagiously attractive and redemptive to you and those around you. Look, consider, observe deeply and reflectively. You just might see God and be able to authentically trust Him. Let us pray. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear Your presence all around us. And remind us, Lord, that perhaps the best way for us to authentically trust You for our futures is to look and consider and observe those moments in the present and in the past when You were clearly there. May it be so all of our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.